The following is an ATS Mix exclusive interview.
But I tell you what I want to do now, Stan, is I want to move into the final last 15 minutes and ask you questions that the AboveTopSecret.com membership has asked. In fact, I'm going to start with the very first one, and this is someone that knows you personally. Now, this member's name for AboveTopSecret.com is Cree Wolf. He or she says, "Mr. Friedman, I actually talked to you via telephone when I lived in Washington State back in 1991.
I remember all my calls, of course.
Of course. I was one of the airmen who viewed Mercury globs during aerial maneuvers near Nellis Air Force Base in 1989 while TDY there from Langley in Virginia. I was a crew chief on the F-15 assigned to the 71st Tactical Fighter Squadron. My question is, what the hell is going on for there to not be any more official admission than there is right now regarding someone visiting us?"
Well, if they go to my website, I mean, this is going to be in my new book too, but I give it to you for free in my website. There's an article called "The UFO Why Questions, WHY. And I give six reasons for the cover-up, and I'll run through those very quickly, much more detail in the forthcoming book and on the website. First, you want to figure out how the darn things work. They make wonderful weapons delivery and defense systems. You got wreckage from Roswell. You set up your secret project. As he knows, rule number one for security is you can't tell your friends without telling your enemies. They listen to the radio, too, believe it or not. The second problem is the other side of the same coin. What if somebody else figures out how they work before we do? We don't want them to know. We know. They know. I mean, look, the ability to fly circles around anything we got flying, stop, start, straight up, straight down, high speed, avoid radar at the right times, all this sort of stuff, everybody would like to be able to do that. I mean, you realize it took us $10 billion in 10 years to develop the first stealth aircraft. So advanced propulsion systems for military applications are where it's at. The third problem is quite different. If an announcement were to be made tomorrow by highly trusted individuals around the planet, a little hard to find, but my favorite odd couple is the Queen and the Pope. They're about the same age, you know.
Right, exactly.
And they're not threatening sort of people. If they were to make an announcement saying, indeed, some UFOs are alien spacecraft and they're neutral, what would happen? Well, I think church attendance would go up, mental hospital attendance would go up, stock market would go down. But I think one of the biggest things that would happen, based on my 600 college lectures, is that the younger generation, which unlike me was never alive when there wasn't a space program, would immediately push for a new view of ourselves instead of as Americans, Canadians, Greeks, Peruvians, Chinese, whatever, as Earthlings instead of with these nationalistic labels we all use. And a lot of young people would say, gee, that'd be great, until you realize there's no government on this planet that I'm aware of that wants its citizens to owe their primary allegiance to the planet instead of that individual government.
Exactly.
Nationalism's the only game in town.
Right, sure.
I mean, you know all these jokes about take me to your leader? There ain't no leader to be taken to, fella.
why don't they
land on the White House lawn? The president doesn't speak for 6.5 billion Earthlings.
Right.
Has trouble speaking for 300 million Americans.
I think I heard a famous person say that one time.
Well, there's a fourth reason, and that is that the certain religious fundamentalists, Pat Robertson, the late Jerry Falwell, have loudly proclaimed quite publicly that there is no other intelligent life in the universe besides what's here, which is pretty much of an insult to God to think that this is the best she can do. After all, look around. A primitive society whose major activity is tribal warfare, but they'd be up the creek without a religious panel. The fifth reason is, and people have said this to me, look, if they're coming here and we're not going there, that means they're more advanced than we are technologically. That means that, well, soon there'll be new methods of energy production. Well, there went the oil industry. New methods of ground transport, air transport, computers, communication systems, economic chaos. And finally, a sixth reason. I have heard seven different stories of more planes going up after a UFO than came back down. If I've heard seven, there's got to be a lot more out there.
Right.
So maybe when we said shoot them down, they said you better not be shooting at us, buddy, or we'll give you a lesson.
Yeah, don't they even see science fiction movies anymore? I mean, the ray guns and all the neat stuff that they got, the toys. I mean, you know, come on.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is that people say, gee, the government wouldn't keep that secret if there were pilots lost. And there's a whole book, and I highly recommend the book called By Any Means Necessary, by William E. Burroughs, B-U-R-R-O-W-S, 2001. And he's a historian and a journalist and stuff. And he reviews the evidence relating to the loss of 166 military crewmen on reconnaissance planes over the past 50 years right after the war until 2001, where they were tickling, if you will, the radar systems in North Korea, China, and Russia. We lost 166 crewmen. No family was told anything. There was no public discussion. Mm. Of course, we shot down a few Russian planes, too.
Of course.
But my point is, if they keep that secret, they finally had a big meeting in 2001 and gave medals to the families. That's when they found out what had happened 50 or so years before to their husbands, sons, brothers, fathers, whatever. If they keep that secret, then of course they'd keep secret the fact that that plane crash was due to a UFO responding to their attacking the UFOs. So one can understand all these things, and I am not saying that everything we know about a flying saucer should be released to the public, because I think there's a legitimate need for secrecy. Suppose we figured out a new method of detecting aircraft in the atmosphere. Are we going to put that out where Osama bin Laden can get?
Yeah,
right. Make any sense? You know,
nah,
I believe there is a legitimate need for security.
Right, exactly.
Sure. I'm not saying people don't make mistakes and overclassify. Lord knows sometimes they do. But anybody who thinks the public is entitled to know everything is blowing smoke.
Yeah, they really are.
I need to move on just a little bit here. We have several other members with some other questions here, so we'll kind of do some rapid-fire questions for you.
Okay.
A member by the name of Space Visitor. Apparently, he's quoting something that he found on your site, which says, there is no evidence that any element 115 has been created anywhere based on what we know about all other elements over number 100. It would certainly have been radioactive with a short half-life, and 500 pounds could not have been accumulated. And then he says, are you still convinced that Bob Lazar, who claims the existence of this element 115, is still a fraud?
Yes, because we've made four atoms of it in this huge accelerator, had it operated for a month, but the half-life of all those elements up at that atomic number level are less than a second. So how do you accumulate 500 pounds of something that's half gone in a second? So, yes, on my website there's an article about Bob Lazar. I point out the phony claims that he's made, no degree from MIT, no degree from Caltech. He claimed that William Duxler will remember him from Caltech Physics Department. I located Duxler, and he never taught at Caltech, only at Pierce Junior College in the Valley, out in San Fernando Valley. And Bob indeed attended a course there that he taught.
Right.
At the very same time when he was supposedly at MIT, which is a pretty neat trick because that's 2,500 miles away. That's, if you can go to MIT, you don't go to Pierce Junior College. But, of course, I talked to his high school, and he finished in the bottom third of his high school class, so he didn't go to MIT either. Right. And I talked to the legal counsel at MIT. No way to have your records wiped out. Look on my website. You'll find out more about Bob Lazar.
All right. AboveTopSecret.com member Interstellar13 says that their question relates to the experience that they had some 16, 17 years ago. It has to do with mist or lights or anything in relation to the experience of coming back to the people many years later. You know, they have an experience and then all of a sudden it comes back. What's your take on that?
You mean people who supposedly forgotten an experience?
Yeah. They had this 16, 17-year memory lapse. All of a sudden, you know, it just smacks them in the chops, and they go, oh, okay.
Well, you know, when that was most obvious was Whitley Strieber's book, Communion. It had a drawing on the cover of an alien.
Yes.
And there were an awful lot of people who, when they picked up the book, looked at the cover and, wow, And some of them said, hey, that's not right. And then they realized, hey, wait a minute, how do I know what's right or wrong, you know?
Right.
And it shook up a lot of people. Well, as Dr. Simon proved in his standard therapy for people who've had traumatic syndrome, you can induce amnesia. You can make people forget things. And so sometimes the block isn't 100% perfect. And there was a scene that's in the book Captured that has Betty, they let her take a book and then they took it back from her because we think you won't remember. And she says, I will too. And they said, no. And she got the last laugh on that one. It took a few years and a lot of money to dig out the memories. And incidentally, the notion that, oh, the hypnotists always put the notions in the head of the supposed abductees, it's just coming from the mind of the hypnotist. Well, Dr. Simon, who had one heck of a mind, it was just the reverse. He was trying to convince them that it wasn't an abduction experience. Nobody talks about that, of course.
Right.
But you'll see the discussion about that in Captured.
Another member by the name of Tugitic says this, ufology today has become, unfortunately, a mishmash of unsubstantiated claims, proven frauds, and competitive egos. Which groups, Mr. Friedman, and people in the ufology community now are the best for collecting and analyzing evidence, in your opinion?
Well, I'd point the finger at Mutual UFO Network with its annual symposia, 38 of them so far, with papers by professional people available in the proceedings of the conference. I'd call that the best group. The UFO Updates website is excellent. Again, there's a lot of professional people contributing to that. There's no question that there's nuts and kooks and quacks out there. So what? They're quack doctors, too. That doesn't mean all doctors are quacks. So I agree. There's a real problem with standards, but how can you make somebody behave like a professional scientist instead of like a nut?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to do that.
On just a side note, and this is just me personally asking this, and there seems to be a whole lot more happening daily almost, when we have all these hoaxes coming along, especially with as good as CGI is getting, do you think that hurts ufology?
If you study government intelligence agencies, you will find that disinformation is an important part of the activities of government intelligence agencies. It is interesting that the original big fat report by the Air Force, the Roswell report, Truth versus Fiction in the New Mexico Desert, the guy who wrote that, Colonel Weaver, his specialty was disinformation, and he provided plenty of examples of flat out lies. There's another article on my website, Government UFO Lies. And I don't discriminate. I have lies from the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, you know.
You don't care what the acronym
all
is.
All lie.
Really?
That's right. The point is, what are the facts? And I prove that they're lying. And normally, and it's true with the MJ-12 documents, when good stuff gets out, you fill the air with junk and hope to detract attention and some of the bad stuff rubs off. And a simple example of disinformation. We strove mightily during World War II to convince Hitler that the invasion of Europe, which everybody knew was coming, was going to take place near Calais under General Patton. There were even phony papers put on the body of a dead Englishman and dumped in the water off Spain because they knew the Germans would get them. And so when we attacked at Normandy, the general said, send up the reserves. And Hitler said, no, that's not the real attack. They're really going to come over here. And he held back the reserves. By the time he finally released them, he'd been had. We already had a strong beachhead at Normandy. So people shouldn't be surprised at disinformation. So what I'm suggesting is, wouldn't it be amazing if we're covering up all this stuff about UFOs, if there weren't people disinforming? I would expect there to be, and I've seen many examples.
Well, of course. Well, it's interesting that you make that comment, because this next member, Timber, says, what do you think the economic impact would be, Mr. Friedman, on a global scale, if the complete disclosure that we are not alone in the universe and that the world's governments have individually but not collectively conspired to keep this information secret, assuming that they have crash-recovered craft or exchanged alien technology? In other words, what impact would it have economically on a global scale?
I think there would be effects not only on economics, but on religion, on politics. If any announcement were to be made, it should certainly be accompanied by that there are international conferences going on between world leaders in religion and politics and economics. It's a good question, because if you think, well, we'll get free energy out of this, the Disclosure Project says that, and there goes the oil companies, as I said, and so forth. But, you know, the sun is free. The converters aren't. The wind is free. The converters aren't. And, you know, the sun doesn't shine all the time. The wind doesn't blow all the time. There are some kickers here. So there's no question that there would be discombobulation, if you will. And you saw that in the Soviet Union. The West says, you guys got to have freedom and democracy and elections and capitalism, and everything will be great. And they did all those things, and everything was terrible until the world price of oil and gas went up. And that's what the Soviet Union is thriving on right now, because it's so much higher, those prices, than they were 20 years ago.
Right.
So there will be an impact. But, you know, suppose there was a refrigerator that used only half as much energy. How many people could afford to buy it? You're not going to replace all the refrigerators right away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know, it's going to take a long time. Now, the big problem comes in that the rest of the world cannot consume anything at the same rate that the United States does. You know, per capita, we use more minerals, more oil, more gas, more all the good stuff, and we produce more pollution than everybody else does. So if everybody was consuming at our rate, boy, the planet is going to be in deep trouble very, very quickly.
Of course.
Another member by the name of Nevermore says this: do you believe that at any time since 1945, elements of the nuclear arsenal of the established major nuclear powers, the United States, Soviet Union, Russia, France, Great Britain, or China, have been temporarily removed from the control of their operators by extraterrestrial intervention? And if so, for what reason do you believe these actions were carried out?
Well, there's certainly the Malmstrom Air Force Base case that Captain Salas has talked about. He gave a paper at the last MUFON conference. And so it appears then that they were able to put all these temporarily out of commission. I think it served two purposes. It let our powers that be know that, hey, guys, you can't get away with all this stuff. Somebody might interfere. And second, on their part, it made sure they could control things if the situation was necessary. It's standard practice to find out the other guy's capability and see what you can do to counter it.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think it sent a very strong message in both directions.
Above top secret member Coven has a multiple question, but I'm just going to take one of it. He or she says, what is your opinion on the Tunguska incident?
Tunguska, yeah. In 1908, there was a huge release of energy which knocked trees down for miles. Something was seen moving across the sky, bright, and it caused the optical effects in the atmosphere around the world to change for some period of time. It's like when Krakatoa blew up, the volcano filled the atmosphere with stuff that changed everything for a while.
Right.
I don't think it was a nuclear power plant. May have been a small comet, part of a big meteor, asteroid, who knows? There was no question, if that had happened after we had nuclear weapons, somebody would have presumed that somebody else had thrown a nuclear weapon at him. An enormous release of energy, but in the middle of nowhere. Most of the Earth, you know, is the middle of nowhere. Three quarters of it's water. And you look at the United States, I mean, Canada, the United States, and China are all about the same size, just under 4 million square miles. Population varies from 35 million up here in Canada, 300 million in the United States, and 1.3 billion in China. That's a heck of a spread in population density.
Yep,
so
yes.
Things can happen over a large part of the United States and nobody get hurt. You know, when I was, I showed some Japanese journalists around down in Roswell, and we went 53 miles without seeing another car or another person. Broad daylight. Now, you can't do that in Japan.
Right, right.
You know, so in Tunguska, yeah, there was one heck of a mess produced. But fortunately, it didn't involve the destruction of a city, you know. But if it could happen once, it could happen again. And that's kind of scary.
That is scary. A member by the name of Hal 9000 wants to say this. Do you think that the wave of sightings in the late 40s and 50s in the New Mexico area was because of the atomic bomb testings?
Well, yeah, I'll rephrase that. I make one assumption about every advanced culture. It's concerned about its own survival and security. The end of World War II, it was clear that pretty soon these idiot earthlings would be moving out, say, 100 years, moving out to be able to take our wonderful brand of friendship, which everybody else calls hostility, to the surrounding neighborhood. There were three signs that would convince any visiting alien intelligence agent that these idiots are moving in a bad way. One is nuclear weapons, which are easy to detect from atmospheric and radioactive ground. Right. Second is V-2 rockets, which were not used to deliver the mail from Germany to England, you may have noticed. And the third is powerful electronics, where there hadn't been any the few years before. I'm thinking of radar in particular.
Exactly.
Sends
sure.
out a very powerful signal. You put those all together, and they say, soon they'll be moving out. Now, isn't it amazing that the only place in July 1947 where you could test, all, look at, examine, check on all three of these technologies was southeastern New Mexico. Mm. That's where the first atom bomb was tested, Trinity Site, White Sands Missile Range. That's where we were testing the captured German V-2s. We're supposed to share them with England. We didn't, but what the heck. And third, that's where we had our best radar to track the missiles, which frequently didn't go where they were supposed to go. And now I did have an English astronomer very haughtily say, well, they could have gone to the Soviet Union. And I had to correct him and say, sorry, they didn't test their first A-bomb until August 49. We're talking 47.
Right. Well,
it was another one of those examples of people saying things about which they knew nothing.
Yeah, which you've come across many of those, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can't keep secrets. I ask about the Corona spy satellite. There were several of them launched. They got more data than all the U-2 flights that had preceded them about Soviet military installations. The first successful flight did that. That was in 1960. The first public discussion was 1995.
Wow.
35 years. And there were thousands of people involved in those programs.
Yeah.
And there are a number of other programs like that where we didn't know from nothing, but with our money they were spending.
We see nothing, we hear nothing. Hogan!
Yeah.
All right, member Antar has a question about one of your favorite organizations, NASA. It says, NASA is revealing more accidentally lately. Do you think this is a possible sign that they are being forced to gear up and reveal, rather, hard evidence?
Interesting question. They did lose a battle in court, thanks to a very good investigative journalist, Leslie Keene, and the Coalition for Freedom of Information, which worked with the Sci-Fi Channel. A four-year-long battle with NASA. NASA lost. The judge ruled that they should look for documents related to the Kecksburg, Pennsylvania case of the mid-60s.
Right.
And they had fought it for 4 years. And so, and I should mention, there are a lot of people who seem to think NASA only does unclassified work, civilian agency. When I was working on nuclear rocket engines, that was a program supported, sponsored by both the NASA Space Nuclear Propulsion Office and the Atomic Energy Commission. And all the technical data was classified. NASA is the outgrowth of the old NACA, National Advisory Committee on Aeronautics, which used to run wind tunnels and do other military-related research and development activities. So I'm glad Leslie caught NASA. How long it will take him to do the search, I don't know. But don't kid yourself. I've talked to three different astronauts. They all have security clearances. I don't know that this will make them release a lot of information besides about Kecksburg. They're not anxious. You know, they're not going to throw open the safe just because there's some water leaking under the door.
Right, exactly.
Right.
You got to go after it all.
A member by the name of Flyers Fan says, please, Mr. Friedman, talk to us about Chicago O'Hare. Do you think it's as huge as I do? Do others who are working for disclosure see it as huge also? Why has this dropped from the national radar?
Good question. They actually put out the NARCAP, National Aviation Reporting Center for Anomalous Phenomena. Pilot sightings is what that boils down to. Dr. Richard Haynes is their chief scientist, used to work for NASA, is retired now. Dick put out a 150-page report, excellent report about that. The biggest impact of that case was on convincing the Chicago Tribune and a number of other papers that the public is interested in UFOs. That article on the front page on January 1st this year, about a sighting that actually happened November 7th last year, that article got more than 1 million hits, more than any other article ever on their website. It led the list for 4 days, which has never happened before. And so a lot of media, the Trib actually ran an article, it was a front page article, but they ran an article a couple of weeks later saying they were astonished by the reaction. You know, the reporter got called from all over the world to be interviewed. So it brought out, made it a lot easier for certain other information to come out this past year. The Fife Symington admitting he'd seen the Phoenix Lights. The French putting a bunch of UFO material on their website, which went down in 2 hours. There's so much interest.
What does that say about those guys, huh?
Well, it says, and incidentally, that wasn't top secret material. It was mostly civilian and police stuff.
Yeah.
And also when the British Ministry of Defense put stuff on their website, that got a lot of attention. And as a matter of fact, it probably brought out more press coverage for that November 12th conference at the National Press Club in Washington, where there was testimony from military people from Iran and Chile and Peru and the United States and France and England. It got a lot of coverage, maybe not as much as we would have liked, but a lot more than people would have expected, because here are respectable, responsible former government people, former pilots and stuff, telling about how they were trying to shoot down UFOs and things like that. So the O'Hare case, while we don't have any photographs worth talking about, while it was quietly spectacular, I mean, here's a round disc-shaped craft sitting right above United Airlines at the terminal, less than 1,900 feet altitude. It drills a hole in the clouds when it leaves. But, you know, there were no beings seen. It didn't circle around any aircraft. It wasn't spectacular. It was just a straight, typical, excellent sighting. There are loads of them. You won't hear about them from the negativists, of course.
It's obvious to me that you have a real keen insight into the manipulation factor of governments and what they want people to hear and see and whatever. So I've got a couple of things that I want to just bounce off of. You don't have to go into any elaboration. I just want to get your take on it because of your research. One, and of course, it kind of started the whole ball rolling to a degree, was the radio broadcast of War of the Worlds. In your opinion, was it a test by whoever, government to a degree of maybe encouraging Orson Welles or whatever to do this thing to see what the public's reaction would be if the real thing really happened?
I don't think so. That was 1938. Space was not a place anybody talked about except science fiction fans. No, I think that, as a matter of fact, I was in New Jersey at that time. I didn't hear the broadcast, and I was only 4 years old. But the interesting thing is that if you believe the program,
people
had a right to panic. It wasn't Martians are visiting to have a cup of tea or a glass of beer. They're here to destroy Earthlings. What could we do against Martians?
Yeah.
I mean, remember, we hadn't even gone supersonic. We didn't have jet planes. We didn't have rockets. We didn't have radar, as far as people knew, et cetera. What could we do against an advanced civilization coming here from someplace else when we were so far from that point? So, no, I don't think so.
Okay, I want to fast forward in. Then what about the day the Earth stood still?
That's another story. I mean, Hollywood does like to make money, and that was a well-done picture. It's one of my favorites.
Mine, too.
And I think that might have been, I mean, let's face it, sometime in 1947, after we recover wreckage and bodies from Roswell, somebody's going to ask for a psychiatrist or several of them to come up with an evaluation of what does this mean? Can we go public? What will the reaction be? All this kind of stuff. And there might have been arguments about that. Some people saying the public can handle it. They handled the atom bomb. other people saying, what are you, crazy? The public will never be able to handle this. There'll be panic in the streets.
Right.
Well, let's see what happens. And so there certainly, as I mentioned, that there was disinformation around. That's part of the intelligence community. There are trial balloons. Call them what you will. I don't mean mogul balloons. I mean trial balloons.
Yeah, of course not.
Sorry. So I would say that that's a possibility, yes.
Spaceman Jupiter says, I'd like to get your take on Rendlesham. It seems like it's such an important story and with an amazing bit of testimony and detail. What is your opinion, Mr. Friedman?
Well, I've met Colonel Halt. I've met Larry Warren. I've met other people connected with the case. Nick Pope, who worked for the Ministry of Defense and so forth. And Gloria, what's her name? Brunei, who wrote a book about it. And I think something of great importance happened there. I think we're still trying to sort out the exact details because some people sort of cut back on their testimony because they were afraid of being, losing their role in the military or being laughed
sure.
at or whatever. I think there was indeed a landing, I think, observed by many military people. I certainly don't think it was the beacon light out at the lighthouse or any of that sort of stuff.
Right.
And certainly, I was impressed by Colonel Halt. I mean, he's the vice commander of the base. These guys don't go around making up stories. Come on.
Right,
man.
Right.
So I'm not saying everybody who's ever said anything about it is telling the truth. I'm saying some of them probably aren't. And there are mistakes made in time. You know, people don't remember everything 100%. Any lawyer will tell you that. So
right.
There certainly is very strong evidence that indeed something was seen on a base where nuclear weapons were stored and involving military security people.
Well, you know, I've got, I guess, really, you know, I mean, there's a we could keep you on the horn all night, Stan. I mean,
oh, you can't. I'm not going to let you.
I know, but I know. The thing I love about you, Stan, is you don't let Johnny and I get away with a blessed thing. God,
he
love
holds
you.
No punches.
All right. Well, here's my last question, and really, okay. it's just a simple one. Do you ever find that when you absorb everything that's going on after you've done all the research, you go home at night and you're sitting there in your chair, whatever, and you know you pull out the bottle of brisky and you're going, man, if I meet another nut today, I'm going to take a 2x4 and just beat the crud out of something. I mean, do you get so besieged with all the lunacy that it sometimes just overwhelms you at all?
No, it doesn't happen very often. You know, sometimes I hang up the phone and say, boy, that guy was nuts.
Is that what you're going to do when we get off the phone?
No, well, it doesn't happen very often. And you see, I'm in a good position. My phone number and website and my email address, fsphys@rogers.com, these are in my books. So, you know, I can be a target. The numbers are there. I don't hide. I've never had an unlisted number and so
right.
forth. So, I think, well, as I mentioned before, I've only had 11 hecklers in over 700 lectures. That tells you something.
It really does, because Richard Pryor had 135.
Well, you know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, Harry Truman said. So, I'm actually very careful in what I say, because it's backed up by evidence. If I don't have the evidence, I wouldn't say it. Somebody would chop my head off. I quick story. In fifth grade, the teacher, Rose Gutkin, was telling us that the sun stands still and the planets move around the sun. And I said, no, Miss Gutkin, I just read in the encyclopedia that the whole solar system is moving around the center of the galaxy, 12 miles a second. It was very impressive to me. Oh, no, she gave me a hard time. I was an A student, and I wasn't accustomed to getting a hard time. So next day I brought in the volume of the encyclopedia. 29 cents a volume at the supermarket. In those days.
The good old days.
And I pointed out what it said there, and she reluctantly agreed that maybe that was the case. Now, I learned a very important lesson. If you're going to stick your neck out, take on authority figures, you better have facts in hand before putting mouth in gear, or you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, I have learned that the hard way, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Before we wrap things up here, Stan, the book that you're currently writing on, Flying Saucers and Science, why don't you give everybody just a brief teaser of what they have to look forward to when you finish this book?
Well, I will have chapters about the arrogance and ignorance of the SETI people, of some science fiction writers, of some journalists. I'll cover the reasons I say there's a cosmic Watergate with many specific examples. I'll deal with the why questions. Why would anybody come here? I think there's a list of 22 reasons, something like that. Where are they from? I'll deal with that. And I'll deal with the question of, you know, what does it all mean anyway? And so it'll be a very comprehensive, I won't say treatise, hopefully it's a readable book that will educate, stimulate, excite, and that will get people thinking, which is the whole point of the thing.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Stan's website is at www.stantonfriedman.com. He has numerous material available. Please support this fine gentleman if you would. And we can't tell you how both Dave and I, and of course everybody at AboveTopSecret.com and all our listeners, are extremely honored and proud to be able to have you as our interview guest today. Thank you so much for your time, Stanton.
Thanks. Next time, after the book is out.
There you go. And absolutely.
Count on it. Thanks. So on behalf of the ATS Mix, and Stan, please stand by. We want to say goodbye to you off air. On behalf of the ATS Mix and all the membership at AboveTopSecret.com, I am Dave Rabbit.
And I'm Johnny Anonymous. We'll catch you next time on the ATS Mix. Hey, everyone. Johnny Anonymous here. Just wanted to let you know that after a long day of denying ignorance at the Above Top Secret area or denying apathy at the Above Politics area, I like to go to the Below Top Secret arena and just have some fun denying boredom. It doesn't matter if I'm in the mood to just chit-chat with some of the other members and friends or share a good joke. I can do that and so much more in the Below Top Secret forum. In fact, I just got a great recipe for marinating steaks in the food and cooking arena. It was so good that my lady friend just couldn't believe that I found it on that website. You found that at BelowTopSecret.com, she asked? Yes, my dearest, I replied. At BelowTopSecret.com, it's like a one-stop shop of fun and information. They've got areas like travel, health and wellness, music, literature, entertainment, art, and sports. They even have sections that you can rant in, talk about your faith and spirituality, learn about the coolest websites on the net, or even just talk about your latest relationship. Or maybe you're more into breaking news events, urban legends, or even an area that offers you some help on fixing that broken-down DeSoto your dad has collecting dust in his garage. Well, friends, I've got to tell you that I've got her hooked, and now she and her friends all go to BelowTopSecret.com and hang out in the numerous areas on the forum. So if you're looking to deny boredom, maybe you should stop by www.BelowTopSecret.com and start having some fun, too.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll